in Acts chapter 22 this morning. Last week we were in Acts chapter 21. And I think just for a few seconds, Paul is arrested. That's where we ended in Acts chapter 21. He gets to the temple, remember? He is asked to purify, and he doesn't even finish the length of the purification because there are some people who are very zealous in arresting Paul because they think that he is teaching Jews to be anti-Moses, and there is a lot of false accusations. And when he gets into the temple for that period, remember, he is also in Jerusalem so that he can participate in the Passover holiday, but unfortunately he is arrested. It's not unfortunate to him because he knew already that that would happen, and so he walked himself into it because that was the will of God. So in Acts chapter 22, he is arrested, and we will meet him trying to defend himself and trying to speak sense to these people. Whether that will happen or not, I am not sure. So this morning, I am not just going to beam a lot of things here, but just my slide, if it is ready, with our topic for the day. We will be just talking about telling your story, telling your own story, and everyone else. You know, I'm not just going to read through Acts chapter 22. It's a bit long. It will take much time. But I'm going to read a few components of that scripture, which I want to highlight a few issues on. I think you all know the story of Paul. So let's get straight to Acts chapter 22. It might appear, it might not appear. I'm reading from my Bible here. So please look at your Bible. Acts 22. Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you. And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew language, Aramaic, they became even more quiet. And he said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God as all of you are this day. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. Wow. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus, about noon a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you. And since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. Maybe we can end there for today. Telling your story. Paul is arrested. He is in a very bad situation. He is besieged, actually. He is faced with death here. The people that have arrested him really don't like him. They hate him. If you proceed reading there, a few verses from there, they just switch off and start shouting, and they say he is not fit to live. He's not fit to be on earth, this man. They aren't listening anymore. But what I need us to see here is how Paul, in that very particular moment of danger, of being besieged by a people who are keen to eliminate him, to kill him, to destroy him, instead of defending himself legally, one would say, maybe instead of seeking for a very learned lawyer who knows the rights of Roman citizens or Jewish citizens and all that kind of stuff, who is well-versed in terms of situations like this, he tends to want to defend himself. And he asked for permission to defend himself. I would have thought that in his defense, he was going to tell a lot of other things. He was going to explain how he traveled. Remember three missional journeys, eh? How he traveled and what he was teaching. He was going to prove to them to say, no, I didn't even teach against Moses. See, this is what I taught. I have witnesses here, Luke and many others. He would have brought all those people as his witnesses so that at least these people would calm down and understand that, oh, indeed, he is innocent. But he doesn't do that. Instead, he chooses to tell his story of how he met up with Jesus. Hello? Yeah? His defense is not in anything else but in his faith and relationship with this man called Jesus. And he begins by saying, hey, 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 look here. You know me, Vele. I was rough against this way. I was rough against the church. I was rough against the believers. And I killed them and I did this. And on my way to Damascus to do what I was zealous for, I met with somebody who changed my whole perception and my whole life. And so I stand here this morning before you rulers and everyone else, a changed man. And what you are persecuting maybe in me is not me, but is this which I saw on my way to Damascus. And what did he see in Damascus? And Paul says it was broad daylight. It was day sunny as it is today. But in this light of the sun, there was a light that shone in front of him. God decided to intercept Paul. And Jesus himself came down as light because he is the light of the world. And his light shines brighter than the light of the sun. And his light your human eyes cannot behold. Because when that light shone on Paul, he fell on the ground blind. And he couldn't see. And Jesus spoke what he spoke with Paul. And there's a huge revelation there. And he goes on to deep into the city and all things happen. You know that we'll get there. But what I'm interested in here this morning, ladies and gentlemen, is how this man uses his story of conversion to address his circumstances and his situation. There are many stories he would have told, but he just tells them about how he met Jesus. To him, nothing else matters. What matters is him and his relationship with Jesus. Well, guys, you can point fingers, you can accuse me, you can say what you want to say, but guess what? I met him on the way to Damascus. Yeah? He beat me in my tracks. I was zealous. Yeah? And then I met him and he shone, he struck me down. I fell down. I got blind. And he spoke to me and made massive revelations. And these are the revelations that Paul is teaching that he saw when he met up with Jesus. I'm not sure where you are this morning. How many of us remember our conversion stories? What's your story? If I were to give you a mic this morning and just say, tell us your story. How did you meet Jesus? Have you met him? What's your story like? How many of us here often tell our stories? You are deep, low, down, things are not working, and you remember how you met Jesus. Wow, it was beautiful. Hello. This morning, I just want to remind you of your story and show you the power of your story. Do you actually understand that when you always tell that story, you regain your power? Ladies and gentlemen, the first day you said yes to Jesus or you met Jesus, there was this passion in you. There was this zeal in you. There was this joy. There was this fire in you. Fire to praise God, to worship, fire to pray, fire to do all those things, which by time keeps going down, down, diminishing, diminishing, diminishing. And if you are not careful, it is at 0% and it needs charging. And hear me well this morning. There is one thing that helps you to recharge. It's telling your story. Always telling your story. When you tell your story to people, your batteries charge. That same passion, that same zeal, that same joy keeps coming up again. It keeps building up. Your relationship with the Lord Jesus keeps getting hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter, if there is anything like that. But you get what I'm talking about. Are you with me? When you are silent with that story, remember that the enemy would want you to be silent on that story. And yet the Bible is clear that there is power in your testimony. There is life in your testimony when you tell your story. And my question is, how often do you tell your story? Who do you tell your story to? Here at church, congratulations. But your story works much more when you tell it to those people who don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you tell it to those people who don't believe in you. When you tell it to those people who rubbish your faith. Are you with me this morning? Your story works for you and for the kingdom amongst those people. Paul is in this. He's surrounded by such people. Non-believers in the Lord Jesus, but who believe in God. That's strange. And he tells this story. Was he released from prison? You know? He didn't, but the story made the difference. It confused them. If you read, they get so confused, they want to do whatever they want, and the commander takes Paul away, and Paul whispers to this guy and say, hey, are you allowed to actually treat Roman citizens in this manner? Yeah? And there is an awakening. We will see these fireworks as we go on, and most of the fireworks are driven by the fire and the power in Paul's story. Let's not be Christians who are too silent on our stories, ladies and gentlemen. Let everyone know you are born again. You met Jesus. You are not trying to be more popular or better than others. That is where your power is. Are you with me this morning? That's where your power is. So I'm asking you to remember. Do you remember? How do you forget meeting such an important man? Guys, if you met the president here, some of you will even capture the moment, eh? And you will record it. And if it was captured in words or in picture form, you will hang the picture. You met the president. You met Trump. You met Cyril Ramaphosa. You met ED. You met whoever you met. Do you get what I'm talking about? And when you meet Jesus, you forget. Eh? You can't remember what was happening. I'm just trying to revive you this morning. There is power in your story. Can you tell your story? If we came here next Sunday and say, come on, we are not preaching, we shall preach through your stories. How many people can tell the stories? Hopefully you would have remembered your story of meeting up with the Creator of heavens and earth, the Lord God Almighty. Him alone who is worthy of all honor and praise. How did he come to your life? That would have been a spectacular moment. Well, he didn't strike you blind. No, don't copy Paul's. You have your own version of your story. And your version of your story is more powerful in your circumstances. Don't think Paul's is more powerful than yours. Yours is powerful in your circumstances. And is worth telling. And is worth enjoying. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So Paul tells his story. He's besieged, he's arrested, he's chained, he's among his enemies, but he tells his story. And in Acts chapter 26, he describes this conversion as a heavenly vision. He saw a vision. To him, that was a vision. So this morning, I just want to show us maybe four things that we learn from Paul's conversion. Paul's story, four things. And hopefully these things will help you and you will understand what is happening, because your story too has a meaning. It's only that you have not sat down and analyzed your story. When you came to Jesus, he spoke some things. Maybe you did not capture them. And may the Spirit of the Lord remind you those things. Because in those things lie your purpose. In those things lie your mission. In those things lie what God expected of you. Hallelujah. God help us this morning. So my point number one, it won't appear here. The reason I did it, I just wanted to be different this morning so people can write. It's better that way. But the first thing that I want us to see here in this story, number one, is that you can be zealous for God, but working against God. Isn't that strange? You can be so fired up for God, but working against him. Ignorantly so. Paul says it himself in verse 3 and verse 4. He says, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God as all of you are this day. Verse 4, I persecuted this way to death. Yeah? Zealous for God. Persecuting his way. His believers for him. Can you see this contrast? Yeah? I think I have seen people who love God but hate Jesus. And then how do you love God? I've seen people who are pure murderers talking about how they love God. They are killing his people. Hello. I've seen people do strange things. Uprightly, or not uprightly. Absolutely wicked. But talking God. Yeah? They can come here and convince you about God. Oh, is that you, Elisa? God. Hello. And then they are working about. Paul is zealous. He's educated like so. In the law of Moses, it's all about God, 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 God. Now Jesus comes into the place. Mm-mm. He's an anti-God. And he persecutes his way. And he confesses this. I was so zealous and persecuted this way. And on my way to Damascus to persecute this way, Jesus appears and turns my focus around. And Jesus begins to reveal to Paul, this thing you are persecuting is actually me. This thing you are persecuting is actually this God that you are zealous about and that you are zealous for. So you need an understanding. And the Lord reveals that understanding to Paul. Are you with me there? What did Jesus reveal? Number two, the first thing Jesus revealed himself to Paul. Verse number 8. And I answered, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said to me, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." Wow. I'm going to persecute these believers. I'm going to persecute these notorious people. They are turning the world upside down. They are causing problems everywhere. These are the people that I am persecuting. And Jesus says, no. You are actually persecuting me, Paul. Jesus introduces himself to Paul in a beautiful manner. Wow! Pa! Shut up. Close your eyes. Eh? Why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing what I'm doing? And who are you? Is it I am Jesus? Not only Jesus, but Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Paul learns of Jesus in this conversion. How I would love it that when I first gave my life to the Lord Jesus, he spoke to me like this. And he says, "Welcome, KK. I am Jesus of Nazareth." Maybe he didn't, but he did. He also did it to you. You began to know Jesus. So Paul has this first-hand experience of talking direct with Jesus. He doesn't argue anymore, no? And he pays attention to what Jesus is saying. Now Paul has met Jesus. Now Paul knows Jesus. Now Paul is understanding something critical here, that these people that I am persecuting are actually Jesus. And maybe how? How is that possible? I am beating this person and you say I'm beating you. How is it possible? I'm killing this one and you say I'm killing you. How is that possible? Paul begins to understand the mysteries of God. He begins to understand the mystery of the church, who the church is, the relationship the church has with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you see and if you are realistic enough and you realize the things of the Spirit, all the letters Paul writes, he begins to teach about this unity, this oneness of Jesus and the believers. And he uses the word body. And he explains that because that is the other thing that was revealed to Paul right here. Number three, Jesus revealed not only himself, but that Jesus and his church are one. That was another revelation. Jesus and his church are one. They are called the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Christ doesn't have many bodies. You don't have many bodies. You have one body. Jesus has one body. And his body is called the church. So Paul, when you are persecuting this, you are persecuting my body. How will I not feel pain when you are cutting off my fingers? How will I not feel pain when you are cutting off my hands? What you are doing to these people, you are doing to me. And because you are doing it to me, I have to take a stand and show up to stop you. And convert your zeal, your energy, your passion from a wrong thing to a right thing. So from here on, I will show you how it is to suffer for my will. because that is what you are appointed to do. And God turns around. You know, there are many people with a lot of energy, but wrongly directed, even in the church. There are many people with a lot of passion, but maybe directed towards gossip, towards slander, towards wrong things. Hallelujah. I didn't say here, I say it in the body of Christ. Eh? Are you with me? There are many people with so much energy in them, but it's not channeled the right way. And when God tries to stop you, you are trying this, he closes. This, he closes. Maybe you are not hearing that God saying, hey, here you are wasting your energy. Your energy must be channeled here. This is what God does to Paul. He teaches him that, Paul, the church is my body. The church is me. Me and the church are one. Paul was naturally limited. God. But he doesn't see the big picture of God. Yeah? Do you know people are going to hell calling God? Yeah? Jesus himself says, not to everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall see the kingdom of God. Do you know there are many people doing a lot of beautiful things, but in the wrong spirit, in the wrong direction, in the wrong energy, in the wrong zeal and the lack. But Jesus teaches Paul one good thing. The church is his body. He is the head of the body. When you touch his body, you are obviously touching him. The church, while made up of millions of individuals, it is one body. Let's hear what the Bible says about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Please get there if you've got your Bible. The Bible says, now you are the body of Christ and the members individually. Ah! Did you hear this? Now, you and me, we are the body of Christ, but members individually. All of us here together are the body, but we are members of this body individually. We still stand and walk and do individual because each and every one of us has their own individual assignment and their own contribution, individual contribution to the body. So when the enemy touches this individual, guess what? He has touched the whole body. And maybe my question is here, as a body of Christ ourselves, how do you feel when the neighbor, your neighbor here, is not well? What do you think when the other person here is having a hard time? Guess what happens in the spirit? The body is not well. Hello? Yes. The body is not well. When one member is going through hard times, because we are all one body, but individual members of the body. That's why we have a responsibility towards each other here. As believers, as members of this one body, we have a responsibility towards each other. Our responsibility is to love one another, is to care for one another, is to teach one another, is to correct one another, is to rebuke one another. Hey, you cannot be causing pain to the body by living where you are. So allow the members of the body to correct you. That's the responsibility. Because when you go wayward, guess what? It's the body that suffers. I think we need to understand and learn as believers that we have a huge responsibility towards Jesus and his body more than just anything. Once you are a member of the body, there is nothing like, this is my body. This is my right. You heard me. Because we all belong one to another. we are the body of Christ. Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 5. What does Paul say? He says, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. I love this. Where did Paul learn this? In his story. Of course, the author didn't write everything that he learned, isn't it? But there was a revelation. There was a revelation of the vision of God. And he learned all the things he is writing about this body. Because this is the man who was persecuting the body unknowingly. And God teaches him and arrests him and says, go, I want you to teach about my body. The functions of this body. The responsibility of this body. Who we are in Christ Jesus, all of us together, Jesus being the head of the church. The head of the church is not your bishop. No, it's not the Pope. It is not the Archbishop. The head of the church of Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ himself. We are all members of that body, individually so, for one another. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Are you understanding this? All I intended this morning with the leading of the Holy Spirit is to help us to understand that we are one here. We belong one to another. And we have a mandate towards one another. Please help the body by being compliant. How would you feel in the morning? You want to wake up and your head says, I'm not waking up. Yeah? I said, no. The feet and everything wants to wake up. The head says, I'm sleeping. Where will you go? Nothing. How would you feel? You want to lift up your coffee cup right now, and your fingers say, I'm tired. It's the Sabbath today. I'm resting. And I'm not feeling like. Huh? How would you do it? Come on, guys. You've been trapped, isn't it? That's what happens when you, as an individual, in the body of Christ, don't do what is expected of you. The body can't function well. The body can't do what it ought to do. Does the head change? No, our head doesn't sleep. Our head doesn't slumber. Jesus Christ. No, he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's forever righteous, forever loving, forever kind, and patient in all things. To his body. And the Holy Spirit is there, nudging each member of the body. Hey, wake up, rise up, pray, read the word, share your story, testify about Jesus, tell them about Jesus. Do this. And when you do that, the body becomes strong, strong, and massively strong. Because we are one. Talk to your neighbor and say, we are one. We need each other. I'm about to finish. Hallelujah. And what else was revealed to Saul, Paul, in his story? Go ahead and read it. You'll see the things I'm talking about. The will of God was revealed. The will of God for Paul. Let's read verse number 10. What does it say? And I said, what shall I do? Ah, that's a powerful question. Now that you have struck me blind, now that you have introduced and revealed yourself to me, now that I understand I was wrong, what shall I do? What shall I do? I don't know what to do. The only thing I knew to do was to persecute. But now you're stopping me this. What shall I do then? And the Lord said to me, rise. You are not going to do what I want you to do, Paul, while you are still down there. Rise. Vuka. Wake up. In other words, come up here, Paul. come up here, rise, and go into Damascus, where you were going. The mission has changed. You're not going into the city to kill no one, Paul. Now you're going to the city for the assignment. And there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. He's going to be told everything appointed for him to do. Because he asked, what shall I do? And that will be told to you in Damascus. And he arose indeed. He went into Damascus. And he met a man called Ananias. He was a devout Jewish preacher, God-fearing. And the Spirit has spoken to him about Paul. And of course, he's afraid of Saul. He causes a little argument here. But he goes to meet Saul. And he says in verse 13, Brother Saul, receive your sight. When Ananias walked into where Paul was, he says, I don't talk to blind people. Brother Saul, receive your sight. And the eyes, boom, they open. Yeah? And the eyes open. And at that very hour, I received my sight and saw him. And then he said, the God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth. Hallelujah. Now that's the mission, Paul. You have been appointed to know the will of God, to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth, which he heard. And all the way, all Paul's way, up to the last, he is hearing the voice of God. God is talking to Paul now and again. And he can't mix the voice of God with any other voice. He hears it clearly directly because he's appointed for that. He's appointed for that. He is very alive to the voice of God in all his journeys because that is part of his mission. And it says, for you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. That's the mission. Paul is clear. From here, ladies and gentlemen, Paul cannot be messed around. No, he knows what to do. He knows how to do what to do, and he is focused. And the Lord tells him, if you read on, they will not accept your testimony in Jerusalem. Yeah, they won't. And who would? Who really would? Even if it was you, would you? You're going to doubt it, isn't it? Yeah, and so God sends Paul to the Gentiles. And we meet him now with three missional journeys to the Gentiles, preaching Jesus, teaching about the body of Christ, teaching about the unity of the body of Christ, teaching marvelous things that even other apostles are not privy to. Paul's teachings were so hard even to other apostles. Because he taught by revelation. He taught by what he saw. He taught by what the Lord was teaching him and showing him. This is the man who wrote almost 2/3 of the whole Bible, the New Testament, by revelation, starting from his story, the day he met Jesus. And he never forgets to tell the story. How powerful is Paul's story. And how powerful is your story? If you can remember it and tell it and use it as a weapon for evangelizing your friends, your workmates, your colleagues on the streets and everywhere else. Do not be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't start here. It started there. With a story, the day you met the Lord Jesus Christ. Hello. They see you now being you doing what you are doing, and they just think you were just like this right from the beginning. Why can't you tell them the story so that it can lift them up from where they are to desire to be where you are? If God can do this to this one, he can do it to me. Do you see that? Yes. And then they desire that, and the Lord comes alongside. And people get healed, and people get saved by your story. Sometimes you may forget some scriptures. Congratulations. Just tell your story. Are you with me? Just tell your story. And in the telling of your story, there could be a revelation of a scripture. Because the Spirit of God is with us, revealing Christ. So we can know him deeper and deeper and deeper all the days of our lives. Hallelujah. God bless you as you imagine your story this morning, as you think of your story, as you tell your story. Let's go out and testify. Jesus is Lord. He is good. He still saves, and he still convicts people like he did with Saul of Tarsus. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, this morning, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the ministry of your word. Thank you for various stories of the day we met with the Lord Jesus Christ here. My prayer is you will remind each and every one of us our beautiful stories, so we may begin to tell, that by our stories we may win many people to the kingdom of our God. Thank you, therefore, for boldness and clarity. Thank you, Lord, for your joy and peace in us. Throughout the week, we belong to you. We are available. We ask you to use us and create in us that hunger, the hunger for your righteousness, the hunger for your purity, the hunger for your power and power. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, thank you for opening the eyes of our understanding, that we may behold the beauty of us being the body of Christ, belonging one to another, and doing the mandate of our God one to another, that we may not be breakable by any chance of the enemy. Thank you for the fellowship this afternoon. We bless and we honor your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.